Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse here on WDIY, your community NPR station in the Lehigh Valley. I'm your host, John Pierce. My guest today is the outgoing president of Muhlenberg College, Dr. Peyton Randolph Helm. He took office as president of Muhlenberg College in July of 2003 and holds the faculty rank of professor of history. He was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, President Helm, how are we to pronounce Louisville?
That is such a great question because almost nobody gets it right except people from Louisville.
Louisville.
It's L-O-O hyphen A hyphen V-U-L, Louisville.
Louisville. President Helm majored in archaeology and graduated magna cum laude from Yale University in 1970. He earned his Ph.D. in ancient history from the University of Pennsylvania in 1980, specializing in ancient Greek and Near Eastern history and literature. President Helm is a member of Phi Beta Kappa. And I want to ask you, Randy, when it says ancient Greek, does that mean ancient Greek language?
I have read and studied ancient Greek language in addition to, you know, the art, the architecture, the history.
Immediately prior to joining the Muhlenberg community, President Helm served as Vice President for College Relations and Professor of Classical Studies at Colby College in Waterville, Maine. He began his career in academic administration at the University of Pennsylvania, where he was named Coordinator of College House Programs in 1981. Randy, I want to ask you why you moved from teaching into administration.
Well, I like to eat. My family liked to eat. I actually, you know, getting a Ph.D. in the humanities in the early 80s was either an act of great faith or it was totally foolhardy. But I've always been interested in lots of things, and I've always managed to teach and keep up with the scholarship to a certain degree in my field and to do administrative work as well.
And so a different kind of challenge.
It's worked out well for me.
And you mentioned the family, and the family are Pat, your wife.
That's right.
And two sons.
Two sons. They're both grown, both living in Brooklyn, both doing what they love to do. One's a writer, a journalist, and the other is a filmmaker and a director, and they're both off the payroll and doing well. So I'm really, really proud of them and proud of Pat, too, because she teaches music theory at Muhlenberg, and she's really doing a lot of original research in her field of the psychology of music perception. So it's I'm really proud of my family. They do great stuff.
That's a great thing. And you also have a dog, I think, don't you?
Not anymore.
Oh, you don't.
No. Calypso died last summer.
Oh.
So, but I'm hoping to get another one sometime. So
once you have a dog, you just don't want to be without one.
That's right. That's right.
In 1988, President Helm was named Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations at Colby College. So that was your beginning at Colby, was 1988.
That's right, yeah.
He was promoted to Vice President for College Relations in 2001. At Colby, he led the institution's largest capital campaign to date, exceeding its $100 million goal by 50%. Wow, what a triumph that was.
That was a triumph. It was a great time to be raising money. The economy was booming. People had a lot of money. They were feeling very philanthropic. We had a wonderful president who was, leading the charge, and he was a great partner for me and a great mentor. So, yeah, it was a great time to be running a capital campaign. And after I left, Colby did even better. So clearly it wasn't a fluke.
And then right after Colby, you came to Muhlenberg College, and you've been here for 12 years. You've led two strategic planning processes, completed a comprehensive campaign that exceeded its goal by 5%, and you've overseen management and fundraising efforts that have produced balanced budgets, set institutional records for admissions applications, and more than doubled the endowment.
Well, actually, more than tripled the endowment, John. To be picky, but we've gone from about $70 million to just under $250 million. So that's a really good thing for the college.
I remember the days when $50 million was a big figure.
Yes.
About 40 years ago.
It all depends on the context. You know, if it was a matter of your personal savings or mine, $50 million would be amazing. but for a... a liberal arts college that's trying to make its mark on the national scene, $250 million is not as much as our competitors have to spend. So it's all relative, and we're doing well, but we could do better, and I think in the future we will do better.
I've heard that the main task of a college president is to do fundraising, and I asked you once upon a time what percentage of your time was dedicated to fundraising. You said it's not that easy to say.
It's really not easy to say, because hopefully everything that you do reflects well on the institution. Everything you do makes friends for the institution. And of course, there's a percentage of your time where you're actually out meeting with specific individuals or foundation directors and asking for money. But there's a lot of other things that go into leading up to that moment when you ask somebody to support the college. And those things are important. So it is really hard to calculate a percentage of your time. I travel a great deal for the college, and almost all that travel is connected one way or the other to building relationships for the college, and often asking for funds as well.
And so sometimes it's just a matter of how you chat with a student and his family or her family, and a handshake that you give, a smile, lots of those things play in.
Hopefully, yes. You can't do things just because you hope it'll lead to somebody writing a check, because then you're not genuine. So, if you love the college, if you love the work, and if you love the students, I think the fundraising is not a hard task. But the love has to be genuine, I think.
You've been at Muhlenberg College for 12 years, which is a relatively long period of time for a president these days at a college. We'll get to that a little bit later. So the natural question is, how has Muhlenberg changed since you became president? But Randy, you also put a question here that I should ask. How has it changed you? Which I think is a more interesting question.
Well, let me answer the first one first. I think Muhlenberg has changed over the last 12 years. It changed the 12 years before that and the 12 years before that. I think each president gets a chance to shape the college and advance it, in a way that's appropriate for that period of its history. But I would say that the way in which Muhlenberg has changed, I think our facilities are better. I think our facilities are, more aesthetically pleasing. I think we're more energy efficient. We're more sensitive to sustainability and recycling, and those are all good things. But the most important differences, I think, over the last 12 years are that our students spend much more time on what I would call experiential learning. That is, they're doing things in the world that connect to the theory they learn in the classroom. And that can take the form of study abroad, which we have many more students studying abroad than we did 12 years ago.
Do you have a percentage in mind?
Yeah, it's over 50% now.
That is huge compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, it really is. It was about 32% when I got here. We have more students doing internships. That's terribly important for students to get a taste of different types of work and what really fits their skill set and what doesn't. We have more students doing service learning. We developed a number of service learning courses, those are courses where the theory and the content that students learn in the classroom, they go and they can apply in service settings in the community. So they may be working with the elderly, or they may be working with a community-based health organization, or a Spanish course might take students to help with translation services in hospitals or at the polls. Some of our accounting students actually help people complete their tax returns, and that work is one of my favorite examples, because they generate about $1 million in tax refunds to some of the citizens in the Lehigh Valley who need that money the most. So, and that money goes right back into the economy. So, service learning, research is very important. More students doing research, either individually or in collaboration with their students, or sometimes in collaboration with our faculty, publishing articles with our faculty. So that emphasis on experiential learning, powerful learning, I think is much more part of the Muhlenberg experience than it than it was, and I'm very proud of that. And then finally, I would say that the governance of the college, the way in which the administration, the faculty, and the board work together as a team, you know, each with its own strengths, its own perspectives. But that can be tricky, and you can see colleges that really go through tough times because one group or another doesn't trust the other parts of the governance system, or they're angry or they're meddlesome or whatever. But I think we have worked very hard, and by we, I mean the leaders of the faculty and the leaders of the board and myself and my colleagues in the administration, to really get that right so that we trust each other, we respect each other, and we listen to each other. And so as we make decisions that are going to affect the college, we try to take all those perspectives into consideration. And that's really important. And I think we do that better than we did when I arrived. I think there was some tension and some tumult before I got here.
It's kind of built in. As a former faculty member, I can say that some of the attitude on the part of the faculty is them being the administrators and us being the faculty. And then sometimes the them are the board of directors or trustees also.
Right.
So if you've bridged those gaps, that's a big accomplishment.
And you know, I think each of those three groups has its own strengths, as I said, and its own perspectives. But the thing I like to remind myself about faculty is you don't become a scholar by being trained to reach consensus. What scholars do is ask questions, and they debate. They debate issues. They continually challenge fixed positions. That's what they do. That's what they should do. That's how new knowledge is created. Now, that can be frustrating to an administrator who simply wants to reach consensus and say, okay, that's done, let's move on to the next thing. But as long as the faculty understand that it can't be an endless debate, it's not a debating society when you deal with administrative matters, and as long as the administration and the trustees realize that having debate and having open discussion and having some pushback is a good thing that will lead to better results, I think the institution is well served.
And the other question is, how has it changed you these past 12 years?
Well, let's see. How can I? I think my attention span has completely been shot. there are so many things going on. I have to do so quickly that the idea of, you know, I say, okay, now I can settle down and read this book I've been looking forward to reading. And after about 5 minutes, I sort of get twitchy and I think, okay, there's got to be something I should be doing other than just sitting here reading a book. So that's one change. I do think my attention span is shorter than it used to be. And I hope in retirement that I will regain my ability to really focus.
You may be speaking for all of society when you say that.
That's quite possibly. I think I've also I think, John, I've gotten a better sense of who I am and what makes me happy and what I'm good at, what I'm not so good at. And that can be both reassuring and humbling when you know, okay, this is not something I'm really comfortable with. I have to do it, but I need help with it. And when you have a deeper understanding of who you are and how you operate and what you're good at, what you're not so good at, I think it makes you a happier person, and it probably makes the people that you work with happier too if you don't go around trying to bluff your way through things where you need help.
My guest on Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening is President Randy Helm of Muhlenberg College. He's the outgoing president. In fact, you have only a few days left.
No, more than that. I have,
June 30 is your end date. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be welcoming a new president fairly soon, and we'll see if we get to that later in our chat this evening. Another question that I have for President Helm, where does Muhlenberg fit into the U.S. higher education landscape these days, given the recent demise of certain liberal arts colleges? Is Muhlenberg's survival at stake, in your opinion?
I think every institution that gets complacent is taking a risk. But Muhlenberg is not complacent. I don't think Muhlenberg has ever been complacent. The short answer is no. Muhlenberg is not at risk. Muhlenberg is certainly challenged, as many colleges are challenged. Higher education in this country is challenged. The challenges are different for different types of institutions. But we're not at risk. We would be at risk if we were complacent. But we are not complacent, and we are always trying to understand our mission, understand our brand, understand our customers, and understand how we can most effectively and efficiently deliver the kind of educational experience that we promise that we're delivering.
What are some of the really big challenges facing small colleges like Muhlenberg? And I say small, student population of about?
Well, we have about 2,400 students. There are, I mean, I think that's maybe twice the size of Haverford, which is a very fine liberal arts college. There are some that have as few as 800 students, which is quite tiny. And I'm not sure how you really make a college, you know, have a college that offers the full range of things to that small student body, but it certainly would be very intimate. You'd really know everybody very well. For us and for colleges like us, I think there's a consensus that preserving access and affordability for families is a huge challenge. It's very important that we do that. It doesn't matter if you're offering a superb education if nobody can afford to be at your college. On the other hand, I think everybody also acknowledges that the business model for small private liberal arts colleges is very, very troubling. We cannot continue to raise tuition faster than the rate of inflation every year. Can't do it because there's a smaller and smaller segment of the American people who can pay it. And no matter how much we increase financial aid, you can't increase it to the point where you're not making enough money to balance the budget. And you said it earlier, I balance the budget every year I've been at Muhlenberg. I'm really a budget hawk. When it comes to balancing the budget, I just think it's non-negotiable. You have to balance your budget. It's stealing from the future if you don't. But the business model is a challenge. We have a very highly trained, highly educated faculty, and we need special people on the staff, people who understand the technology, people, you know, really good electricians and plumbers and carpenters and, you know, really, you know, everybody at a college, everybody who works at Muhlenberg College contributes to the experience that we're trying to provide. And they all need to be trained. They need to be skilled at what they do. And so you need to pay them a living wage, or at least, you know, maybe even better than living. Maybe a competitive wage is what we shoot for.
Randy, it's time for us to take our first break here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. President Randy Helm of Muhlenberg College is my guest this evening. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
And we're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse, WDIY Allentown, speaking this evening with outgoing president of Muhlenberg College, Randy Helm. He's been at the helm. Do you get that phrase a lot?
All the time. All the time.
It's getting old, isn't it? But you're not going to be at the helm very much longer. So this is 12 years that you've been president. What is it about the tenure of president that tends to be shorter than 12 years?
Well, as you know, John, the national average, I think, is 7 years. But if we just look at some of the institutions like Muhlenberg here in Pennsylvania, we've had presidents leaving very good institutions after 2 years or 4 years or 5 years. And I think, you know, each of those transitions has its own story, of course, and its own reasons, its own context. But I think these are very demanding jobs. They're wonderful jobs. And I'm not asking for anybody's sympathy. I love being president of Muhlenberg, but it is all-consuming. It is 24/7, 365. And there are always places that, you know, when you're one place, you could and perhaps even should be somewhere else. There are things that are changing in terms of national regulations and compliance requirements. There are students that are having issues. There are faculty concerns. There's academic concerns. There are athletic events that you want to be at, and there are plays and concerts that you want to go to. And, you know, every once in a while, you'd like to just sort of sit down and gather your thoughts or spend time with, you know, with your wife or your family. And those moments get to be pretty rare when you are fully engaged in being the leader of a college and being accessible to all the people who make that college a great place to be. So it's very demanding. And as I've told people who've asked me, you know, I love being president of Muhlenberg, but it's impossible to do anything else that I love while I'm being president of Muhlenberg.
And there are some other things that you love to do.
Theoretically, yes. I haven't done them for a while, but I plan to start trying again.
Right. One of those is taking trips with people from the Muhlenberg community and others who want to join in. The Aegean Sea was one that I attended,
yes,
and am proudly wearing a vest that was a gift from Randy to all those of us who participated. And you are heading off for Italy, I understand.
Well, by the time this airs, I will be back from Italy, and I will also be back from Greece. And each of those has a business purpose other than fun, although I think travel is great fun. We're taking a group of alumni to the Amalfi Coast, and so I'll be going with them. We'll be seeing some historical sites, and then in May, I teach a course in Homeric epic and Greek history, and I take my class to Greece for about 10 days as part of that class. And so we will be there doing field work and visiting sites and museums, and they will hopefully be working on their papers. And it'll be, I've done this several times before. It's exhausting. It's exhilarating. It is just great fun. And it's, you know, it's one way that I can stay in touch with my academic roots, and I just love doing that.
You've always teaching. Been interested, even though being an administrator, being able to teach and being able to keep up with research. I respect that. Well, you mentioned the cost of higher education before. Let's get a little bit more into that with a question. Why, since small private colleges are expensive, why should families even consider sending their children there? Won't they graduate with crushing debt and poor job prospects? That's a tough one.
That is not as tough a question as you might think. It sounds tough, and it's the, you know, it is those assumptions you're going to graduate with crushing debt, no job prospects. That is what the media, that's a message that the media have been presenting relentlessly for years. There are some people who graduate with over $100,000 in debt. It's like 0.5% or 0.1% of all the people who go to college. So they are real outliers. That's not the norm. That's not what you have to worry about. And there are people who graduate from college and don't get their dream job right away. But here are the facts. And these facts don't make for great news stories, and you're not gonna hear them in the New York Times or on NBC News. But the facts are that when you look at the unemployment rates, college graduates have a much lower unemployment rate than those who didn't go to college. When you look at the debt rate is usually about that of a car. You usually end up owing on student loans about as much as you would spend to buy a car, And of course, an education is a much better lifelong investment than a car. So let me just give you the Muhlenberg statistics, because those I can quote right off the top of my head. First of all, 42% of our students graduate with no debt whatsoever, none, zero. The 58%, their average debt when they graduate is about $23,000. It's not $100,000. It's not multi-hundred thousands of dollars. It's $23,000, which is, as I said, about the cost of a car. That's manageable. How many of them get jobs? Well, 1 year out, and we conduct a survey of our alums every year, 1 year out, 96% of them are either in graduate or professional school full-time. So they've gone into law school, they've gone into medical school, they're getting an MBA, they're getting a master's in something else, or they're employed. We know this. And year after year after year, 96%, 95%, 97%, 94%. It's right in that ballpark year after year after year. So, I suppose there are colleges you can go to where you'll graduate with lots and lots of debt and no job prospects. But the colleges that I know, Muhlenberg and the colleges like Muhlenberg, this is why you should send your child to one of those schools. There's a lot of financial aid. We have a financial aid budget that's over $30 million a year, and that's just what the college gives. That's not Pell Grants and other government support. So it is a really good bargain, and the odds are strongly in your favor at a Muhlenberg or Haverford or Swarthmore that you'll graduate in 4 years. Now, at most public institutions, it'll take 6 years, sometimes more, to graduate. So that's two lost years of being in the job in a job. It's two more years of tuition. So, I think private institutions like Muhlenberg, we face challenges. Public institutions face challenges. They're often different challenges. Now, higher education is going through a period of heightened scrutiny and of challenge, but schools like Muhlenberg are, really need to be differentiated from the broader sector of higher education. We're a small percentage of that sector, but we're an important one. We set the standard, really, for best practices in so many areas.
This is President Randy Helm, who is completing 12 years as president of Muhlenberg College, and we're chatting here about college educations. Randy, we think right away about job prospects when we're talking about higher education these days. Gone are the days of the 19th century gentleman who went to college to enrich his life, to be a more interesting person. But that's still part of it.
Absolutely.
It's a hard sell to parents who are paying so much money.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. Well, there's a hierarchy of needs. You need to eat. You need to have shelter. You need to have clothing. And all that requires some sort of job so that you can take care of yourself, so that you can be independent. But once you've done those things, of course, being an engaged citizen, being a happy person, being a fully developed human being simply requires more than food and shelter. And I think work, by the way, is an important part of individual identity. I think if you engage in work, it changes you, and it often changes you for the better, and it helps you develop values. So work is tremendously important. But so is an understanding of what the great minds of our species have produced over the millennia, and the mistakes we've made as human beings, and our triumphs. If you don't understand all that, and you don't appreciate poetry, you don't listen to music, you don't care about art or drama, or you don't understand the social sciences, well, you're going to have a very limited life. You really won't have much of a life at all, in my view. And I think most people understand that on some level. But of course, first things first, you have to have the basics, and work is an important part. I wouldn't be a happy person if I hadn't been working for all these years, and that's been part of what satisfies me at the end of the day. You know, you have to say, I did something today, and I'm proud of what I did.
One of the aspects that I enjoyed about being a faculty member was being around interesting people. And I would look at other jobs out there and people who are doing perhaps humdrum work, and that's fine. It needs to be done. But for me to be able to relate to people who travel and who read extensively and so on, it's one of those intangibles that I really have appreciated. The folks here at WDIY, same thing. Just very interesting folks. And that is that's a serendipitous
John, let me just thing. Double back on one thing you said about some people do humdrum things. I think that's so much a matter of individual perspective. And, you know, one of the things that I learned, and I think you earlier were talking about the fundraising aspect of the president's job, is that I find there are no humdrum jobs, that I can learn from almost anybody, whatever they do. And, there are groundskeepers at Muhlenberg who can teach me about flower beds or about fruit trees. They're, it's amazing what I don't know, and they teach me. And there are, I remember a Colby alum I met whose company produced the yarn that embroiders the tags on the backs of neckties. And I'd never even thought about that. And he said, oh, it's got to be a very special kind of yarn to do that. So, life is full of things going on, and you may not be aware of them, and you may not even care to think about them. But when you dig a little beneath the surface, the world is full of fascinating things and fascinating people. And I think it's just a blessing for me that I've been able to find that there's a lot of interest in what might appear to be the humdrum, but it and so I think everybody has a story to tell about what they do. I think it's very sad if there are people who hate their jobs. That's very sad because, as I said before, I think work should be a source of satisfaction and pride in life. And I think I would like to think that for most people it is.
Right. That's a great point. Some people do think of the work as the J-O-B that I have to go to, and it is kind of sad when you hear that. But people who continue with their education are more likely, I think, to have satisfying lives, as you've indicated.
Well, I think they have more options. That's
more
for sure.
Options.
They have more. They have a bigger toolkit, and I think that's why the liberal arts, to me, are the best kind of education. Because, if the only tool you have is a hammer, they say, then every problem is a nail. But we know every problem isn't a nail, and the more tools you have in your toolkit, the better you're going to be at solving problems. So that's why I'm such a big proponent of the liberal arts.
So President Helm is finishing 12 years at Muhlenberg College as president. And you've mentioned before, Randy, that it's a job that you have loved. So I want to get into some of the enjoyable parts of your job and some of the least enjoyable parts. So let's start off with the positive aspects.
Sure. I think one thing I enjoy the most is the variety of it. It is no 2 days are the same, and every day has so many different parts that I that have nothing to do with each other that, if one thing isn't really all that great or to your fancy, then the next thing might be. So in a typical day, I might be meeting with architects about a campus building. I might be meeting with attorneys about an interesting legal situation or some compliance issue, which is intellectually interesting even if it could be frustrating and annoying. An hour after that, I could be interviewing a candidate for a professorial job and listening to them talk about their research, which is one of the great perks of my job. I just get all these interesting scholars to come in and talk with me about their research for a half an hour. Then I'll go and have lunch with students and listen to what they're up to, and they're often up to some very funny things. They've got great senses of humor, or they've got very inspiring stories to tell. And so that's it's just then maybe I'll teach my class. So
and the students will actually look across to you across the table and converse rather than looking at their handheld gizmos?
They actually do. sometimes we're all looking at our handheld gizmos, but and I'm sure every college isn't like this, but the Muhlenberg community is such a friendly place, and it has been very welcoming since the first time I set foot there. And so if I go into Wood Commons, where most of our students eat, and I spot a table of students who look like they're, you know, not about to finish their meal, I might sit down with them, and you know, we just catch up on what's been happening. You know, where'd you go for spring break, or you know, what are you going to do this summer, or you know, how are your classes going, how are midterms going, that sort of thing. And it's, you know, I find that is like a tonic for me. If I'm ever feeling down, and I hardly ever am, but if I ever am feeling down, if I go and have lunch with students, perks me right up.
And one of the joys of being on a college campus is the beauty of it, first of all. Many campuses are beautiful. But
none as beautiful as Muhlenberg.
of course. and then the other thing to me is just keeping in touch with youth, and to watch a person go from 18 years old to 22 years old or so. Big change in life there during their 4 years on campus.
Right. It is such an important time of life. It's really, I think that when students go off to college, they only have an inkling of who they might be, who they might be meant to be. And I think that those 4 years are when they discover who they're supposed to be. And a big part of that, it's not all in the classroom. In fact, perhaps the classroom is important, but not anywhere near the most important. I think it's the friendships. I think it's the co-curricular activities, so that you might be on an athletic team, or you might be on the campus radio station. You might be in a club, or you might be in student government, or in a fraternity or sorority. And you learn a lot about yourself, and you learn about other people doing those things. And then you have these friends who see something in you and are your friends and are often your friends for the rest of your life, because they help you figure out who you're supposed to be in this world. And that's huge. That's so important.
Very well stated. It's time for us to take another break here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. Stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And we're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse, WDIY Allentown. I'm John Pierce, and my guest this evening is President Randy Helm of Muhlenberg College. He has only a few days left in his presidency before a new president is welcomed on campus. We were talking just now about the enjoyable parts of your job, Randy, and there are some that are not so enjoyable. Well, what would those be? Without insulting anybody.
No, I'm not going to insult anybody. I think that the most difficult parts of the job are when students are in trouble, either because they've done something they shouldn't and they're in a disciplinary situation, or because something has happened to them, something tragic. You know, we believe at Muhlenberg that students learn through making mistakes. But I always feel like it's my responsibility to make sure those mistakes aren't life-altering mistakes. So when a student gets hit by a car, for example, or is involved in a judicial case, you know, where they're accused of something, or maybe they've had too much to drink and they have health consequences as a result of that, and I have to deal with that, as I do, either because they're our students and I want to make sure they're okay, so I'll visit them in the hospital, or I'll check in with them. I have to, you know, talk with their parents, or because I have to be the court of final appeal in a judicial case. I don't find that to be fun. I don't find that to be enjoyable at all. But I take it very seriously. It's an important responsibility. And I have to remind myself that even when it might be a matter of a suspension or an expulsion, which rarely, I'm happy to say, happens at Muhlenberg, but occasionally, you know, as in any community, you have people who make very bad decisions. I like to think that whatever our disciplinary system does in those cases is in the long-term best interest, not only of the victims, but of, you know, the person who did it, that they will learn somehow, that this is not simply about being punitive. It's not about retribution. It is about education. Everything we do should be about education, but it's not the fun part of education, that's for sure. So that's I would say, you know, we had one student suicide while I was here. That was extremely difficult. It was difficult for me. It was difficult for the staff and the faculty and for all of the students. And that was, you know, meeting with that young man's parents, meeting with the community, just tremendously difficult. So that's not fun. That's probably the least fun thing I do.
Randy, you've been living in the Lehigh Valley now for a dozen years. What do you notice about our location as far as a college is concerned? Do we have our pros and our cons?
I would say it's almost all pros. I mean, the Lehigh Valley is a fantastic place to be a college, to have a college. And I would say that our location in Allentown is just about the best location for a college that I could conceive of. If I was given a blank slate, housing is affordable, so faculty and staff can live near the campus and can enjoy the community and be members of the community. It's relatively safe compared to a lot of places. It's relatively sophisticated in terms of the cultural and the entertainment options. So it's not a small town in a rural setting, or it's not in a big city where nobody can afford to have a good quality of life. But on the other hand, we're so close. There's so much to do in the Lehigh Valley. But then if for some reason you still can't find anything to do, you can go to New York City. You can go to Philadelphia. And those places are great too. But then you can come home to the Lehigh Valley. And as somebody who spent many years living in Maine, one of the things that I first noticed and really valued about the Lehigh Valley is you can drive 10 minutes in almost any direction and be out in the country. And that is wonderful. That's very restorative, I think, for me. And I know a lot of people. I know one of my predecessors sort of had a farm that he retired to from Muhlenberg. So I think it's a great place. And, of course, Muhlenberg is bordered on one side by a park and on another side, other sides by a very nice, safe residential neighborhoods. So that's a perfect place for a college. And, you know, within walking distance, you can go to the movies, you can go to restaurants, you can go to bars, I suppose. Students sometimes go to bars. But, you know, it's a fabulous setting for a college.
Right. And the farmer's market?
Farmer's market. How could I forget the farmer's market? For a lot of students, we try to make sure the students know that's there. And so that they can walk down and they have their favorite stands in the farmer's market where, you know, they tell each other this is where you go to get really good cheese or really good sausage or whatever.
Right. You're talking about all the different events in a cultural sense that are available in the Lehigh Valley. When I moved here and went on to the faculty at Muhlenberg in 1970, a colleague who had been here only a couple of years said to me, "John, there's so much to do on campus, let alone the other campuses that are nearby and in town what's going on, that you just can't possibly do it all." And that's exactly the way I found it. Let's move on to a topic that I know interests you, Randy Helm, president of Muhlenberg College, and that is President Obama's Education Department plans to set up a national rating system for colleges and universities. What do you think of that plan, and how would you rate colleges and universities if you had the magic wand?
Well, Thank you for asking that question. I am like almost every other college president in America in thinking that the Obama administration's idea for ranking and rating colleges is an absolutely terrible idea. Now, it's not because we don't like to be assessed, we don't like to be evaluated. That's not it. It's simply, and the other thing is, I have to say, is that Americans love rankings and ratings, and the U.S. News is a great way of selling magazines because people like that. People like top 10 lists. They like to know, you know, who's the most eligible bachelor, who's the most, you know, the best dressed public figure, and they love those things. But that's not serious analysis. That doesn't really help people know where their child will flourish in college. The Obama administration's rating system does not take into account the tremendous variety of reasons why people go to college and the tremendous, tremendous variety of institutions in this country, the kinds of institutions. You have small liberal arts colleges like Muhlenberg. You have large research universities like Princeton or Yale or Harvard. You have large publics that are also research institutions, the University of Michigan, University of Wisconsin. You have community colleges. You have seminaries like the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York or the Lutheran Seminary in Philadelphia. You have technical schools. You have places that specialize in the sciences and places that specialize in other things. You know, there's huge differences in enrollment, in academic standards. And the good thing is about all this variety is that it allows young men and women and also non-traditional students in America to find an institution that fits their needs. And their needs may be quite different. There are some people who want to go and get a job. They want to get some sort of a credential that will allow them to get a job. There are others who show up and they want to discover who they are and their what they're meant to be, or they want to know the meaning of life, or they want to be able to understand great literature. There are different reasons. They want to find a calling as a pastor or as a rabbi. There are all sorts of reasons that people seek an education. And how can you apply one measuring stick to all institutions when the people who go to those institutions have such different needs, expectations, and desires? So I think it's foolish, and I think it's ultimately doomed to be misleading and to yield a lot of effort that or to take a lot of effort that doesn't yield a very useful result.
So if it were up to you, there would be absolutely no rating system.
No, that's not right. I have a very simple rating system. And the key to it is to ask the customers what they want and if they were satisfied with what they got. And so here's what I would do. And they could do, the government could do this, I think. They could do it next year. And it would not cost higher education a dime. And it wouldn't cost the government very much either. They could add two or three questions to everybody's tax return. They could say, did you go to college? If so, which one? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? And you know what? We're required, every institution is required to turn over the social security numbers of all of our enrolled students to the federal government now. Almost everybody files a tax return. So the federal government could then take all that data and they could slice it and dice it anyway. They could link up educational degrees at particular institutions with income and with charitable giving and with all the other things you could derive from people's tax returns. And I'm not saying that they have the right to do this. I mean, it might be a great invasion of privacy, but the kind of rating system they're talking about now is also an invasion of privacy plus a lot more work. But what you would get from that, and I've suggested this to various people, and I think they think I'm kind of foolish because it's so simple. But what you would get from that is people would be able to tell you if what they got was worth it because they want different things. So you can't measure what you think they want. Ask them what they want. Ask them if they got what they wanted. And I just think that makes so much sense that it is, and it's so obvious that it's too easy. And but I wish that's what the government would do. And you know what? I would be perfectly content as president of Muhlenberg if we got a failing grade, if less than 60%, let's say, of our alumni said, no, it wasn't worth it. Take away our tax-exempt status. If you'll do that to any other school, I would be perfectly content. If you know, you have a school where 60% or fewer of your alumni don't think that what they got was worth it, okay, then that's a problem. Deal with that.
All right. Well, that's a different point of view. I had never thought of hooking up a tax return with, were you satisfied with your college experience?
And the only reason I say the tax return is because everybody has to complete that. Almost everybody has to complete a tax return. So it's universal, and they can link it into all that financial data that is in your tax return, including your charitable giving. So if you want to know if people are charitable, if education makes you charitable, then, you know, you can do that too. You can measure that.
President Helm, you are retiring this summer. You have a few days left at Muhlenberg College as president. What will you miss the most, and what will you be doing with your free time?
I think I will miss the students a lot. I will miss teaching a lot. I'll miss walking on the campus because it's a beautiful, beautiful place to live. But I think what I will miss the most, quite frankly, is the people that I work with every day, my work family, and they are a family. I see them every day. They are so much fun to work with. They're so smart. They're so kind.
This is the staff right in your office.
The staff right in my office.
Give a shout out to them.
Yeah, Ken Butler, Aaron Fenstermacher, Marla O'Connor, and then the members of my senior leadership team. Karen Green, our Dean of Students, and Chris Hooker-Herring, our Dean of Admissions, and Kent Dyer, our Chief Business Officer, and Rebecca Brown, our Chief Development Officer, and Calista Isabel, the chaplain, and Mike Bruckner, our Vice President for PR, John Ramsey, our Provost. These are all great, great people, and I interact with them all the time, and I'm very, very fond of them, and I will miss them.
And what will you plan to do with your time now you get some more free time?
Well, my first priority will be to unpack lots and lots of boxes up in Maine. I will be spending more time in Maine, where we still have the house that we raised our boys in when we were at Colby. And we probably need to do some work on that house, hope to put an addition on the house if we can afford it once we get the plans done. The other thing I want to do that will take up some time is I want to get a puppy. And then I want to train the puppy so that it behaves itself. But as you mentioned earlier in the program, we had a wonderful dog, Calypso, who died last summer, and that just left such a void, and I'm looking forward to filling that void again. So,
well, we wish you all the best in your retirement.
Thank you.
Hooray,
thank
you. Your retirement has finally come.
Thank you, John. Thanks for inviting me to be here.
I appreciate your spending the time with us here in eclectic South Bethlehem. You've been here before, not yes. to the WDIY studios, but Lehigh University, certainly.
Yes, absolutely.
With meetings with presidents and so on. President Randy Helm, leaving Muhlenberg College after 12 years as its president. And the incoming president is Mr. John Williams.
Yes.
A little bit about his background.
John is going to do such a fantastic job at Muhlenberg. He is very different from me, but I think he is very wise about liberal arts colleges. He's an Amherst alum. He served on the board of Amherst for almost 30 years. And, Amherst is not a bad little college. Maybe not as good as Muhlenberg, but it's it's pretty good. And he's also an entrepreneur. He has been in the business world. He's been a consultant. He got both an MBA and a JD from Harvard, so he can think like a businessman and he can think like a lawyer. And he's a pilot, so he can fly all over the place. But the most important thing is that he's a genuinely good guy who he's very smart and very passionate about Muhlenberg College. And I think when people get to know him, they are going to really like him.
That's a great recommendation. President Randy Helm has been our guest this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I want to thank Elizabeth Parcells for her good engineering work, as usual. I'm John Pierce, and remember, as you go about your life until we meet again, to be gentle with your neighbor.